light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is a very interesting Greek word. It is katharkizo in the Greek. I may not be pronouncing it right, but it means to be clean or to be purified or to be purged. Now, listen to what he says. This is what the blood or the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary offers in us. We can be cleansed from sins. Christians can be cleansed from sins. Now, in the context of the language, Christians, it's why would John have to write to the Christian and tell them that they can be cleansed from sins if they had accepted Christ and Christ is in them? Aren't they automatically, from the day that the new birth took place, aren't they automatically sinless? No. Watch this. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. Now, stop at verse 8, and I'm going to ask the question again. Who is the writer writing to? He's writing to me. He's writing to you. Are we Christians? Yes, we are professing Christians. So he's writing to us. If we, you and I, say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Who is the speaker talking to? He is talking to you, and he is talking to me. I want to make it plain. He is talking to C.H. Spurgeon. He's talking to Morgan Campbell. He's talking to D.L. Moody. He's talking with Harry Ironside. He is talking with all the professors at Dallas Theological Seminary and students. He is talking with John MacArthur. He is talking with R.C. Sproul. He is talking with John Coleman. Now, if we say, verse 8, that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, meaning that the sin nature yet resides in us, though through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can be cleansed or made pure or purged from the sin that so easily besets us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, who is the we? You and I. Everyone that is reading the text and that can give acquiescence to it. If we confess our sins, he, who is that? That's God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Well, if we're saved and cleansed and made pure the first time, why does he have to continuously forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness? Why does this process have to continue to go on and on and on? See, if we say that we have not sinned, verse 10, who is the we? And you notice I keep asking that question, and I want you to answer it. The we is you and I, you and me, Pastor John, and whomever you are listening to this. It says that we make him, who is the him? That's God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. Who is the us? You and me that's reading the text. No, I'm not trying to belittle your intelligence. I'm trying to drive a point home to you. There is no one after they have received the call of Christ in their lives. There is no one. Once they become a Christian, there is no human being. I don't care whether it's the Pope in Catholicism, Mother Teresa before she died, helping the poor indigenous people of India and Bangladesh, wherever she was. I'm not concerned if it's a pastor who opens up an orphanage in Haiti or Ghana somewhere. No one, any pastor of a church, any leader of ministry, including Dr. John MacArthur and all the people on his staff, everyone that comes into the church, there is no one that is exempt from the plague of sin, which is a part of human nature. When Christ saves you, he saves you, and he purifies you and cleanses you as you confess your sins. Now, we would all agree with that. Now, why wouldn't a person confess their sins? Well, I'll tell you why a person will not confess their sins is because they are full of pride. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." And then it starts off in verse 17, Proverbs 6, 17, and it says, "A proud look." First thing that he starts off with is a proud look. Man, when someone is, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed blood. See, now let me apply this to me. John, are you proud? For what? I'm glad that God has given me life. Or are you prideful because you think you have a ministry and it's all about you? No, I pray God kill me now. Seriously. As I said at this mic, a lying tongue. Am I lying about anything? No, Lord, I'm not lying about anything. Have you sinned, John? Yes. Have you sinned within the last 24 hours? Almost definitely. John, do you know that your nature itself is abominable before God? I said, the filthy wretch that I am. Yes, sir. All right. Hands that shed innocent blood. John, are you personally trying to hurt anyone in the church? Are you trying to make anyone stray from God? No. Hearts that devise wicked plans. Verse 18. John, have you devised a wicked plan to hurt Grace Community Church or anyone in that ministry or anyone that is associated? No, not at all, Lord. You know my heart. Feet that are swift in running to evil. John, are these practices that you do that you do? No, Lord, I don't do that. A false witness who speaks lies. Verse 19. Discord amongst brethren. John, is that you? No, Lord. If it's me, kill me. Strike me. Kill my family. Do me like you did. What was the dude's name that stole the glad rags when Joshua was supposed to go into the first city and take it? Do me like you did him, Lord. Wipe me out. Clean the earth of my filthiness, the memory of myself. And let me say this. I believed I received a couple of email threats because the protection situation on my computers are telling me that someone is trying to attack my hard drive and just knock my website and everything out. And I'm telling you, this isn't coming from sinners. This is coming from professing Christians since I've been doing what I'm doing. Those of you that are Christians out there, I know you can't fathom that, can you? Oh, come on, John, you're lying. I don't lie. I don't have to lie to you. What would I lie to you for? Why all the threats of poison? And I don't open all the emails. If I don't know you and if I haven't corresponded with you before and my computer gets that email message and it comes up under a threat, I just delete you from the email list. Christians, or professing Christians, are doing this. And they would think that they are trying to stop Satan because they think that I'm Satan. No, I'm not trying to protect the ship here. And for your information, I don't just work on one or two computers. I got about seven of them that I'm switching up off of. And if you try to find my IP number, you'll be all night trying to find that one. And then I'll just switch to the other computer. And I don't leave them on so that you can send me viruses while I'm unaware. Now, why would a Christian pastor have to do that against professing Christians? I tell you why I have to do it, because I'm messing with somebody's money. But let me keep looking at this, because I got to share with you what pride is all about. I like, and you know what? I got to tell you, I love the Word of God, because the Word of God is just helping me out when I do webcasts, Bible studies, everything. Now, I like what I see here, because I got to share something with you, what Jesus said.